The woman who was kneeling behind the reception desk, acting as eyes for the soldier boy, waved us on. We crouched down next to her. I was out of uniform. "I'm Sergeant Class. Who's in charge?"
"God, I don't know. Sutton, maybe. She's the one who told me to come down here and spot for the thing."
There were two loud explosions out back.
"Do you know what the hell's going on?"
"We're being attacked by friendlies, is all I know. That or the enemy has finally gotten soldier boys." Whatever was happening, I realized that the attackers had to move fast. Even if there weren't any other soldier boys in the base, we should have flyboys any minute. She was thinking along the same lines.
"Where are the flyboys? They should be scrambled by now."
That's right. They were always on duty, always plugged in. Was it possible they had been taken over? Or had orders not to interfere? There wasn't anything like an operations room in Building 31, since they never actually directed battles from there. The sergeant said that Lieutenant Sutton was in the mess hall, so we headed there. A windowless basement room, it was probably as safe as anywhere, if the soldier boys started to take the building apart. Sutton was sitting at a table with Colonel Lyman and Lieutenant Fan, who were both jacked. Marty and General Pagel, both jacked, were at another table, with top Chief Master Sergeant Gilpatrick, anxiously fidgeting. There were a couple of dozen shoes and unjacked mechanics crouched around with weapons, waiting. I spotted Amelia with a crowd of civilians underneath a heavy metal serving table, and waved. Pagel unjacked and handed the cable to Top, who plugged in.
"What's going on, sir?" I asked.
Surprisingly, he recognized me.
"I can't tell much, Sergeant Class. They're Alliance troops, but we can't make contact. It's like they came from Mars, and we can't raise battalion or brigade. Mr. Laren, Marty, is trying to subvert their command structure the way he did here through Washington. We have 10 mechanics waiting online, though not in cages."
"So they could take control, but not do anything fancy?"
"Walk around, use simple weapons. Maybe all they have to do is make the soldier boys just stand there or lie down. Anything but attack. Our flyboy and waterboy communications have been cut off, apparently right at this building."
He pointed at the other table.
"Lieutenant Fan's trying to patch through."
There was another explosion, powerful enough to rattle dishes.
"You'd think someone would notice."
"Well, everybody knows the compound's isolated for a top-secret simulation exercise. All this commotion could be special training effects."
"Until they actually vaporize us," I said.
"If they intended to destroy the building, they could have done that in the first second of the engagement."
Top unplugged.
"Shit, pardon me, sir."
There was a huge crash upstairs.
"We're dead meat, 4 soldier boys against 10, we never had a chance."
"Had?" I said. Marty unjacked.
"They got all 4, they're inside."
A glossy black soldier boy clomped up to the mess hall door, bristling with weapons. It could kill us all in an instant. I didn't move a muscle, except for an eyelid twitching uncontrollably. Its contralto voice was loud enough to hurt the ears.
"If you follow orders, there is no reason for anyone to be hurt. Everyone with weapons, place them on the floor. Everyone move to the wall opposite me, leaving your hands visible."
I backed up with my hands in the air. The general stood up a little too fast, and both laser and machine gun barrels swiveled to target him.
"I'm Brigadier General Pagel, the ranking officer here."
"Yes, your identity is verified."
"You know you're going to be court-martialed for this, that you'll spend the rest of your life?"
"Sir, begging your pardon, but I am under orders to disregard the rank of anyone in this building. My orders come from a major general, who I understand will be here eventually. I respectfully suggest you wait to discuss it with him."
"So, are you going to shoot me if I don't go to that wall with my hands up?"
"No, sir. I'll fill the room with vomiting agent and not kill anyone unless they touch a weapon."
Top turned pale.
"Sir." "All right, Top, I've had a sniff of it myself.
The general sulked back to the wall with his hands in his pockets. Two more soldier boys rolled up behind her, along with a couple of dozen people from other floors, and I heard the faint sound of a cargo helicopter approaching. Then a small flyboy. They both landed on the roof and went silent.
"Is that your general?" Peggle said.
"I wouldn't know, sir."
After a minute, a bunch of shoes came in, 10, and then another dozen. They were wearing camouflage coveralls with head nets, no insignia or unit markings. That could make you nervous. They stacked their own weapons in the hall outside and gathered armloads from the floor. One of them stepped out of his coveralls and tossed away the head covering. He was bald, except for a few strands of white hair. He looked kindly in spite of his Major General's uniform. He stepped up to General Pagel, and they exchanged salutes.
"I want to speak to Dr. Marty Laren."
"General Blaisdell, I presume," Marty said.
He walked over to him and smiled.
"We have to speak, of course."
"Of course. Maybe we can convert one another."
He looked around and stared at me.
"You're the black physicist, the murderer."
I nodded. Then he pointed at Amelia.
"And Dr. Harding, I want all of you to come with me."
On his way out, he tapped the first soldier boy.
"Come along for my protection," he said, smiling. "Let's go talk in Dr. Harding's office."
"I don't really have an office," she said. "Just a room."
She seemed to be straining not to look at me.
"Room 241.
We did have a weapon there. Did she think I could outdraw a soldier boy? "Excuse me, General, let me open this drawer and see what I find. Oops, fried Julian." But it might be the only chance we'd have at him. The soldier boy was too big for all of us to fit in the freight elevator, so we walked up the stairs. Blaisdell led at a quick pace. Marty got a little winded. The general was obviously disappointed that room 241 wasn't full of test tubes and blackboards. He consoled himself with a ginger ale from the cooler.
"I suppose you're curious about my plan," he said.
"Not really," Marty said. "It's a fantasy. No way you can prevent the inevitable."
He laughed, quiet amusement rather than a madman's cackle.
"I have JPL.
"Oh, come on.
"It's true, presidential order. There are no scientists there tonight, just my loyal troops."
"All of them Hammer of God?" I asked.
"All the leaders," he said. "The others are just a cordon to keep the world of unbelievers away."
"You seem like a normal person," Amelia said, lying through her teeth.
"Why would you want all this beautiful world to end?"
"You don't really think I'm normal, Dr. Harding. But you're wrong. You atheists in your ivory towers, you don't have any idea how real people feel, how perfect this is."
"Killing everything," I said.
"You're worse than she is. This is not death. It's rebirth. God has used you scientists as tools, so he can cleanse everything and start over."
It did make a crazy kind of sense.
"You're nuts," I said.
The soldier boy swiveled to face me.
"Julian," it said in a deep voice. "I'm Claude."
There was an uncertain tremor to his movements that said he wasn't in a cage warmed up, but was operating the soldier boy from a remote jack.
"What's going on here?" Blaisdell said.
"The transfer algorithm worked," Marty said. "Your people aren't in control of the soldier boys. Ours are."
"I know that's not possible," he said. "The safeguards."
Marty laughed.
"That's right, the safeguards against transfer of control are profoundly complex and powerful. I should know. I put them there."
Blaisdell looked at the soldier boy.
"Soldier, Leave this room.
Don't, Claude, Marty said. We may need you.
It stayed put, rocking slightly.
That was a direct order from a major general, Blaisdell said.
I know who you are, sir.
Blaisdell made a leap for the door, surprisingly fast. The soldier boy reached to grab his arm, but punched him down instead. He shoved him back into the room. He stood up slowly and brushed himself off.
So, you're one of these humanized ones.
That's right, sir.
You think that gives you the right to disregard orders from your superiors?
No, sir, but my orders include assessing your actions and orders as those of a man who is mentally ill and not responsible.
I can still have you shot.
I suppose you could, sir, if you could find me.
Oh, I know where you people are. The mechanics' cages for this building's guards are in the basement, in the northeast corner.
He pinched his earring.
Major Lejeune, come in.
He pinched it again.
Come in.
Nothing gets out of this room but static, sir, except on my frequency.
Claude, I said, why don't you just go ahead and kill him?
You know I can't do that, Julian.
You could kill him to save your own life.
Yes, but his threat to find my cage is not realistic. In fact, my body is not there.
But look, he's proposing to kill not only you, but everybody else in the world, in the universe.
Shut up, Sergeant, Blaisdell snarled.
You couldn't have a more clear-cut case of self-defense if he was standing with a gun at your head.
The soldier boy was silent for a long moment, weapons at his side. The laser came up partway and fell back. I can't, Julian. Even though I don't disagree with you, I can't kill him in cold blood.
Suppose I ask you to leave the room, I said. Go stand in the corridor. Could you do that?
Of course.
It staggered outside, taking off a piece of the door jamb with its shoulder.
Amelia, Marty, please go out there, too.
I pulled open the top drawer of the bureau. The tumbler pistol had two rounds left. I took it out. Amelia saw the gun and started to stammer something.
Just go outside for a minute.
Marty put his arm around her and they stepped awkwardly, crabwise, through the door. Blaisdell stood up straight.
So, I take it you're not one of them, the humanized.
Actually, I'm part way there. At least I understand them.
Yet you'd kill a man for his religious beliefs.
I'd kill my own dog if it had rabies. I clicked the safety off.
What kind of a devil are you?
The aiming laser spot danced on the center of his chest.
I'm finding out.
I squeezed the trigger. The soldier boy didn't interfere when Julian fired and almost literally blew Blaisdell into two pieces. Part of the body knocked over a lamp, and the room was in darkness, except for the light from the corridor. Julian stood rigid, listening to the wet sounds of the corpse settling. The soldier boy glided in behind him.
Let me have the gun, Julian.
No, it's of no use to you.
I'm afraid for you, old friend. Give me the weapon.
Julian turned in the half-light.
Oh, I see.
He stuck the pistol in his belt. Don't worry, Claude. I'm okay with that.
Sure?
Sure enough. Pills, maybe. Guns, no. He walked around the soldier boy and into the hall. Marty, how many people do we have who aren't humanized? It took Marty a minute to find the composure to answer.
Well, a lot of them are part way. Everyone who's recovered from surgery is either humanized or hooked up.
So how many haven't been operated on? How many people in this building can fight?
Maybe 25, 30? Most over in E-Wing,
The ones who aren't under guard downstairs.